All right, guys, welcome into our next segment here on our 2023 FreightWaves Now year in review. And we are joined by our FreightWaves founder and CEO, Craig Fuller. And Craig, I love doing this with you to end the year because I think it gives just this like great perspective on where we sit from a founder side of things and also where you're at in your headspace for what 2023 brought. And when we did this last year, we were kind of trepidatious, I think, headed into 2023, right? That was a good word for it. Trepidatious, but certain. Now we've come through 2023. How do you feel sitting here this year?
Well, you know, I don't think this has been a fun year. There was a headline Joe Anishak wrote is like, this has been a pretty miserable year for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. I think, you know, this is a year where regardless of where you sit in the freight ecosystem, it's been pretty challenging. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've had carriers have obviously struggled. Brokers have struggled. We've seen bankruptcies, technology, venture-funded technology companies have struggled. You know, shippers may have gotten the benefit of cheaper rates, but also there's been so much uncertainty in their own businesses that I don't think supply chain professionals that run these supply chains have certainly would say that 2023 has been a victory for them. Yes, mm-hmm. they don't have they're not pressing the panic button like they were last year or 2 years ago, but they're also not getting the love and attention that they were a couple of years ago. It's interesting because like in many ways, it's reverted back to where we were before, where supply chain professionals are not as important as perhaps they were because the pressures are off of them. So it's been a pretty miserable year. I think we're all looking forward to putting this year behind us and moving into next year where things should be more positive.
I feel like it was kind of like a survive and advance mentality, right? Like if you can make it through the struggles that we're seeing, like we can at least take a little bit of a breather moving into 2024 with the hope that something's going to be a little bit better. And like I mentioned, we were here kind of last year talking about how we were watching these headwinds start to really materialize. And a lot of the industry, I think, didn't really buy into that mindset until kind of the first quarter, maybe even the middle part of the second quarter. Do you think that there was like an oh crap moment, for lack of better terms, that the industry went through where they realized like this is real and this is very, very impactful?
Yeah, I think generally the industry, it depends on where you're at in the industry, but I think there was a lot of folks that were hopeful that the year would end up better than what we were saying, but even perhaps what others were saying. And I think what they learned is that this freight recession, as we've described it, is very long and deep. And mm-hmm. I don't think anyone thought it would be as challenging and as long, including us. If you'd asked us a year ago, we certainly weren't thinking it would be a 12-month story. We were optimistic that the second half would turn around. And there were periods of optimism throughout 23. Even in January, we saw better volumes than we expected, anticipated. And that sort of gave us pause on this idea that the freight, in many ways, I think in January, we were thinking, hey, we're done. We're through the worst of it. That wasn't the case. And then in the summer, you know, we had a couple of moments where the summer was better and it sort of ended. And then we had this sort of third quarter pause and fourth quarter was, you know, October was challenging and now we're better. So it's like, it's been a lot of fits and starts as the market has reset. I think next year I'm bullish from the perspective of, I think the worst is over. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more optimism about where things can go. And I think that is certainly encouraging. And what's interesting is where we tend to sit in the cycle, we tend to be earlier on both the, when things are deteriorating, but also when they're coming back. Like we tend to just naturally live in sort of an upstream part of the market in terms of our data, in terms of what we're looking at. And I would say that I'm going to sound more optimistic today than most of the market, which is going to be unusual for people that have only known me for 2 years because I've been the big bear. And I would say I'm pretty optimistic about what 24 is going to bring.
So you mentioned the fact that supply chain has kind of lost that like spotlight effect from where we were put in 2021, 2022. One place where we haven't lost that spotlight, I think, has been from a governmental side of things. We're seeing a lot of regulation come down the pipeline, either from a small committee level, from an FMCSA level, things like that, but also from a big perspective. Biden announced his supply chain resiliency plan at the end of November. And it begs the question, is this relevant and useful going into a big time election year? And do you
think it's useful politically? Yeah. And like there are some winners. I shouldn't say nobody's won. I mean, we have to talk about labor.
Yeah.
Because if we don't talk about labor, we've sort of missed the whole point of 2023. Because
that was going to be
a lot of the conversation. I mean, labor has certainly won. If there has been a party that has won in 23, and if we had, you know, Taylor Swift, one time person of the year, which I think was a great decision on, and I actually said this months before, is that she should win.
Yeah.
She is defined 23. And so I think if we had to say there was a story or a type of person that should win the person of the year. And remember, Hitler won person of the year from Time. It's just that the story's become about you.
Right.
So we're not taking sides in this labor conversation, but I think labor certainly won out this year across the board. And if there was a winner, it was labor in 23. And so I think when it relates to government, you know, government policies are dangerous and can be very effective. It's a blunt force. They can do things that dramatically change the way the market operates. A lot of times it's political. This whole task force by the Biden White House feels very politically, like he gets to go. I mean, he took credit for lowering container prices and frankly took credit for the freight recession. And I think that was sort of ill-advised. Probably, like, let's be frank, most of the folks working in White House, even in the White House Supply Chain Task Force, are not intimately aware of the conditions of the freight market. They're just not. They don't have the perspective that our industry has. Mm-hmm. And I think they're probably unaware of how significantly impacted a lot of the trucking industry has been and a lot of parts of the freight ecosystem have been because they're looking at lagging data. And I think that's part of the problem is that they're in many ways, it feels like they're living inside their own echo chambers and have sort of missed the whole point of what we've all been talking about.
So we got to get the White House as sonar customers.
I think more importantly, Kaylee, I think it is certainly true that government has been a factor in 23, but government is always a factor.
Yeah.
And even when Donald Trump was in office, he was a factor in a very different kind of way. Like his policy changes were not so much on regulation of the domestic supply chain and mm-hmm. trucking industry, but more on changing trade policy, of putting up tariffs and causing disruptions in his own way. And so I think the government's a factor in every single year. And I think if we were to say that there is a primary factor of driving volatility and issues in the market, the government would rank as a number one or number two player in almost every year.
Yeah.
I think this year, the part of the government that probably truckers, the industry should be paying attention to, but probably is, we give too much credit to the president of, and I mean, generally, this is true no matter who's in office. We tend to give way too much credit to an administration in terms of its impact on the industry mm-hmm. and not enough credit to the Federal Reserve, which has a far greater directional impact to the state of our market than the president does. And the reason being is that they control the currency of the industry, of the whole economy, and that obviously impacts everybody. And we've seen, what's interesting is earlier this year, we were talking about very aggressive rate increases, which we've had, and now we're ending the year yesterday. This will be come out in like a week, I think.
Yeah.
But we now have ended the year with a different conversation because Powell said, hey, they're going to reduce rates next year. And I think that's a pretty positive thing.
And then we'll recap of this, of course, next year when we sit here and have this conversation.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to go back and look at what we said last year because I don't recall what we were saying a year ago. I mean, I do this so often. We have these conversations so often. I often forget about what I was thinking about at the moment in time.
Yeah.
Like what was the real sort of thinking a year ago? I do think that we were probably more optimistic about 23 than perhaps it deserved.
Yeah. So really quickly before we round this up, I want to touch on the value of alternative media that 2023 has brought forward to us. Of course, we've talked about the freight creator space and seen this kind of explosive growth in people doing freight podcasts. And we have the whole entire meme ecosystem, everyone that's on Twitter, formerly or X, formerly known as Twitter. And we have this big like alternative media that's almost kind of grassroots. We have a lot of drivers who are getting this platform for the very first time. A lot of folks who are in the industry saying, these are my real life experiences from my mouth with my words. Here's this to back it up. Do you think that this is maybe kind of the future of a very I guess, integrated but connected community is this alternative freight media?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been there. Like, I mean, Facebook has been a primary spot for drivers. Have been, you know, there've been driver groups and that have popped up over the last, you know, decade. There's been message boards back when I was sort of active in trucking, you know, back in the early 2000s, there were message boards. This is just a sort of a newer generation of it that now is on X. The reason, like, you've got TikTok, you have YouTube, you have X, you have LinkedIn, all of these, and Facebook's still there. You have all these things sort of happening all at once. And I think the reason it feels new is because it's a new form of medium. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a big TikTok user. Like, I have a TikTok account, but I've been on like 4 times. Yeah. I delete it because I'm worried about the Chinese spy.
You're literally just gonna get your, like, For You page would be all Taylor Swift. I'm telling you, it would be all Taylor Swift.
Well, airplanes and other things. But like, I delete it because I'm like, I don't know what they actually do with, like, how are they harvesting my data?
Yeah.
And but I think it's interesting because I think we certainly have seen a new group of folks on X, formerly known as Twitter, sort of come about and created this sort of creator economy. But it's always existed. And yes, I think this is a new generation of it. I do think it's interesting because what's very unique about Twitter, X, is that you have different audiences that you don't get in other social media platforms. Mm-hmm. From an engagement standpoint. Facebook is very siloed. Like, you're either in trucking or you're out of it. You're not interested in it. Whereas Twitter is naturally built to bring in these communities that sort of blend. And so you have financial people in FinTwit, financial X, if you will, and Freight X on this other side of it. And there's a sort of a lot of cross talking between them. And I think that's what's unique.
I love that. And I think it's been interesting to see that evolve and interesting to see how it'll evolve in 2024 as we have our Freight Meme Creator Contest. And we really kind of buy into a little bit of the community that we're building there.
For sure. Awesome. For sure. I think one last thing that I would say that 23 has reminded us of before we close the book on this year is the venture capital startup world, I think, is probably the most important story in terms of innovation and technology. Mm-hmm. As we've gone from 2015 to 2022 being this sort of unlimited amount of capital, it felt like, coming into the space, all these innovations and sort of the startup economy really going, supply chain as a thesis was very investable. And now we're in 23, headed to 24, and that chapter is closed.
Yeah.
We saw one of the largest venture capital-backed companies file bankruptcy, which is in Convoy. We've seen there's a lot of stress, a lot of layoffs across the space. Anyone who's running a venture-backed company is sort of miserable right now.
Yeah.
Because even if your business is doing okay, you're not seeing, you're sort of wanting something new to happen. You're wanting the market to reset.
Yeah.
And I think that will be an interesting story as we move into 24. We will continue to see more bankruptcies. But the question is, how long is it going to take before we start to see a more hope and optimism among founders?
Well, as always, I wish we had unlimited amounts of time, but we will be back again for the same conversation in just about a year. Craig, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it, Kelly.
And of course, we can find you many places, but FreightX is the one to go.